Okay. Those of you who are looking at the screen right now will see that there's a big red X through this lawyer's advertising slide. I had meant to take it out. It's not taken out. I have to keep it in to leave it consistent with how the notes are, but I'm going to take it out in the future. So I've never taught the Bates case. It actually is a little bit out of order. It's a pre-Central Hudson case. Bottom line, cross it out. Not going to be on any exams. Let's turn now, however, to a case that will be very likely on your final exam, and that is the Bolger case. All of these cases now are examples of the application of Central Hudson. Again, Central Hudson is the case that governs whether or not the government may regulate an advertisement, and it's a four-part test. Again, the ad has to be for a legal product and not misleading. That's part one. Part two, the state has to have a substantial state interest. That's as easy as rolling out of bed for the state. Very easy. So parts one and two are easy. The third part is that the regulation, the state has to make the argument that the regulation advances the interest. And finally, part four, the regulation has to be no more extensive than necessary to advance the interest. It's got to be a small regulation, a narrow fit. Okay? Those are the four parts of Central Hudson. Again, parts one and two are easy to get for the state to get passed because nobody is going to fuss about them regulating advertisements for illegal goods and services, and nobody is going to fuss about them regulating unlawful advertising, so advertising that baits or switches or is misleading in some way or untruthful. Parts 3 and 4 is where it gets problematic for the state. Okay, so back to Bolger. Bolger was the Postmaster General of the United States. So he was called on to defend this federal statute, that there was a post office statute that said that you couldn't send unsolicited mailings regarding birth control products. So no information, certainly no products, etc. Young's Drug Company wanted to send basically infomercial flyers, like the kind we get from Walgreens every week or so, that has information on products and sales in the store. Okay, so it wanted to send out that information about condoms and sexually transmitted diseases. They couldn't. Young's, you know, basically ignored the law, sent it out, got sued. The case went to court. Supreme Court considered this speech, and it said, this is commercial. You still, Young's, want to sell condoms, all right? However, it still deserves some protection, okay? If we work through Central Hudson, and let's do that now, Central Hudson, again, the four-part test. Part one, obviously selling birth control is legal, and it's legal for people to have sex. The ad was not misleading in this case. They were basically giving information on where to buy condoms and how much they cost. That was all truthful. The state does have a substantial interest in making sure that, you know, I guess that there's not too much sex that goes on, or certainly that there is, that they're making babies going on, although you could certainly argue whether or not part two is really met here, particularly if you're talking about married couples. However, you know, when mail comes through the slot, a little kid can pick it up too, so I'm betting that's where the state was coming from that. But again, parts three and four are problematic. You have to make the argument that if you don't advertise condoms, fewer condoms will be sold, and if you don't advertise condoms, fewer kids will get involved in condoms. Maybe they can make that argument. We'll get involved in sex and need condoms. Maybe you can make that argument. However, where the state fell down was on part four. Too much speech. It was regulating not only the advertisement, but also the information. And that's going to be a big no-no under Central Hudson. It's simply covering too much speech, right? So now we can get as many flyers as we want from Walgreens that talk about birth control products because the federal statute no longer exists. I hope you're starting to see a little bit about how Central Hudson works. Again, parts one and two are usually pretty easy. It's parts three and four where the state ends up starting to fall down. And that's where most regulations that attempt to regulate advertising fail. Posadas to Puerto Rico, my least favorite case in all of media law. I think it's really odd. It's hard for me to reconcile with the rest of commercial speech doctrine. The case is actually called Posadas to Puerto Rico Associates versus Tourism Company of Puerto Rico. Right? Let me explain. It is legal to gamble in Puerto Rico as of 1948. Puerto Rico also has a law that bans advertising for casinos that is aimed at Puerto Rican residents. It's perfectly fine for casinos to aim their advertising toward tourists and toward the mainland of the United States, inviting people to come and gamble, but it is not okay for casinos to advertise to Puerto Rican residents. Okay? One casino ignored the ban and was fined. They brought it to court. Supreme Court takes the case and upholds the law. This is important because it's one of the times when Central Hudson actually worked to support a law that regulates advertising. The rest of them are pretty rare. Let's work through Central Hudson. First of all, it is legal for people to gamble in Puerto Rico, whether you're a tourist or a native Puerto Rican. Second, it is easy for the government to get to a substantial state interest when you're talking about vice behavior like gambling, right? Even though gambling is legal, it's like cigarettes and alcohol and tobacco. The government likes to make sure that people don't do too much of it. And certainly in a country like Puerto Rico, which is not as wealthy as some, there would be a concern that people would gamble too much and, you know, end up keeping food off the table, right? Even here in the United States, we often see regulations on gambling having to do with making sure that people don't gamble too much. So again, parts one and two, like in all, just about all other cases, easy peasy for the state. Part three, Puerto Rico, the legislature had gathered evidence, and that was provided to the court, that advertising to residents of Puerto Rico for gambling had the result of raising the amount of gambling that Puerto Rican residents did. Therefore, reducing the amount of gambling could be achieved by reducing the number of ads. Okay, to put it a different way, less advertising equals less gambling. And they actually provided some evidence, and the Supreme Court said, well, if the Puerto Rican legislature believed this, we'll believe it. Now, I think it's a little crazy. Frankly, whether or not a casino advertises to me doesn't necessarily mean if I'm going to go gamble or not going to go gamble. All right? But the court bought it. And finally, the court said, only one area of advertising was regulated. Only that advertising that is aimed at the Puerto Rican residents, not the advertising that is aimed at the tourists, was regulated. So again, Puerto Rican casinos can advertise all they want to tourists to bring in that revenue, but they cannot advertise to their own citizens. Okay? Now, I frankly think that they should have fallen down on part three. I don't know what kind of evidence you could get. I suppose if you made a general argument that less advertising of anything results in less consumption of that thing, maybe that's true. I haven't done enough advertising research to know that. Maybe some of you can fill me in. But by and large, the court worked through Central Hudson, and the state made it on all four parts. In this case, the state of Puerto Rico made it on all four parts. So the law is A-okay. Okay? I don't really like it, but I just have to know it like you do. All right? All right, so let's apply Central Hudson to some alcohol ads, which is another form of vice, okay? Some of us are more viceful than others when we get into a bar or at a friend's house, okay? Reuben versus Coors is one of the first cases. Back in the 1990s, there was alcohol advertising that was talking about strength wars. My beer is stronger than your beer, okay? I lived in Wisconsin and Minnesota at the time. Near beer is a weird thing to those of us who have grown up in Wisconsin. We're like, that's not real beer, all right? Some beer, of course, is more alcoholic than other beer. There was a rule that was I believe it was a federal law that said that you could not advertise alcoholic content of beer. And the court struck that down as an application of, under an application of Central Hudson. Again, working through Central Hudson very quickly. Part one, it is legal to drink if you're above age. We'll assume that the advertising was not misleading, that they really did reflect the appropriate strengths of the beer. Part two, the state does have a substantial interest in curtailing the overconsumption of alcoholic beverage. But part three and four is where it falls apart. If the state is really interested in reducing the amount of consumption, wouldn't you want to advertise if your beer was weaker or stronger so that consumers could make an educated choice if they wanted to buy a less alcoholic beer? And finally, it regulated a whole lot of speech. Okay, so this law really didn't make a whole lot of sense. Part three didn't really match part two. In other words, the argument was that wouldn't you want more information to be out there if you really want people to drink less or to consume less alcohol? Wouldn't you want them to be able to choose the beer that they want to drink for the alcohol that they want to consume? Okay. Now, 44 Liquor Mart came down when I was in graduate school, so it's a case that's near and dear to my heart. 44 Liquor Mart, there's a picture of it there, is in Rhode Island. And there was a Rhode Island law, just like there was a Minnesota law when I was in graduate school, where businesses like 44 Liquor Mart liquor stores could not advertise the price of their alcohol except at the point of sale. So they could have a banner in the window saying Jack Daniel's, you know, a fifth for $20, but they couldn't take out an ad in the newspaper or take out a billboard or do anything else that would tell what their prices are. You couldn't broadcast it, you couldn't publish it in a newspaper, you couldn't put a radio ad up, none of that. One Rhode Island store, 44 Liquor Mart, ignored the ban, the state fined them, they brought suit, and the court got rid of the law. Let's apply Central Hudson. Part 1, legal for people to drink if they're above age. Part 2, yes, the state has a substantial interest in reducing alcoholism and making sure people don't overconsume. And safety issues, of course. Part 3, though, if you're saying that you can't advertise alcohol prices, like in a flyer or a pamphlet, there are some people, particularly students, and I was one of those students, who would drive to place, sometimes intoxicated, to find the best price. This law supported that sort of behavior. If you didn't know that MGM Liquors, which is a liquor store in Minnesota, had better prices than Serdix, which was a wonderful liquor store that also carried wonderful cheeses and cooking goods, you might drive around looking for the best price. Okay? You might drive around, and that's not such a good thing. Plus, part 4, you're banning a whole lot of speech. You're banning any advertisement of truthful information beyond the point of sale. Okay? So again, fails parts 3 and 4. Okay? Covers too much speech and doesn't advance the interest. Okay? Now you start to see some justices saying, we don't really like Central Hudson so much. Clarence Thomas said in this case, I believe, why are we keeping truthful information from interested people? He completely bought into the argument that you need to provide that information so people don't go driving all over the place, even if they're sober, wasting gas, right? Wasting time. Why don't you simply let them know? This case was heralded all over the country. And I remember when this case came down, I was, again, in graduate school, and Serdix, my favorite local liquor store that had the nice deli and cheese section, took out a full-page ad in the Star Tribune advertising all of its prices right after this case came down. And I am sure that was repeated all over the country. Good stuff. Okay, so we're starting to see how Central Hudson works. Parts 3 and 4 fail much of the time. Not always, but much of the time. Okay, tobacco ads. Okay. Lorillard Tobacco Company versus Riley. Massachusetts had regulations that forbid tobacco ads within 1,000 feet of schools, parks, and playgrounds, and it said that any ads that did exist outside that had to be 5 feet off the floor. Why? Because kids are short. All right? And you can sort of understand why this would work the way it would. You don't want necessarily Joe Camel, who at one time was more recognizable than Mickey Mouse, being advertised around schools and playgrounds. Okay? The court overturned these rules and said that, first of all, regulation of cigarette ads are federally preempted. Only the federal government can get involved in regulating cigarette advertising. Okay, so that tossed the cigarette parts out the window. Now they turned to the parts of the law that dealt with cigars, pipe tobacco, smokeless tobacco, etc., and applied Central Hudson. Legal for people above age to smoke. Okay, 2. Substantial state interest in reducing the amount of smoking. 3, you have to make the argument that if you stop the advertising of in this case of cigars and smokeless tobacco, people will, you know, smoke cigars and chew less. Kind of a tough argument to make. But part 4 is where it fell down. Too much speech. If you think about how these overlap would happen, all right, if you figure that a school and a park and a playground near each other are going to have these overlapping circles, it's not going to be very narrowly tailored. You're going to have very specific areas where there are only going to be little slivers of places where that advertising can take place. That's an awful lot of speech, given how schools, parks, and playgrounds are set up. If you draw those concentric circles, sort of like in a Venn diagram, right, it's not very narrowly tailored. Okay? Let's talk now about posadas. I hate posadas, as I told you earlier. And once it went over, we waited for it to be overturned because we thought, oh, this is not going to last. In 44 Liquor Mart, the case I just talked about a couple minutes ago, there was an idea in there that that Posadas had been overruled sub silentio, which is a fancy Latin way of saying, without really saying so, they got rid of it. But, as we found out in 1999, they really didn't. Okay? Let's talk about Greater New Orleans. It is another gambling case. Greater New Orleans Broadcasting Association wanted to run advertisements for lawful private casino gambling in Louisiana and Mississippi. Okay, so there are places in Louisiana and Mississippi where it is completely lawful to gamble. And this association wanted to run ads advertising that. But the Communications Act of 1934 prohibited casino gambling establishments from doing that advertising. Okay? So, with me so far? I hope so. Now, Greater New Orleans ignored the ban and ran the ads anyway. They were fined by the state. They brought suit. And the court unanimously struck down the prohibition on broadcast ads for casino gambling. All right? Now, if you're thinking, huh? Why? The law is unconstitutional to Louisiana-based advertisers where those gambling activities are legal. All right? Let's work through Central Hudson. Okay? Part one, yes, it is lawful to gamble in those areas in Louisiana and Mississippi that the organization wanted to advertise to. Part two, yes, the state has a substantial interest in regulating the amount of gambling that goes on. Part three and four is where it becomes problematic. The law had a number of amendments to it that ended up resulting in singling out one specific form of speech for regulation while leaving others untouched. So, for example, the law said you can't advertise for private casino gambling, like a Harrah's, but go ahead and advertise for Indian casinos, state lotteries, gambling at sporting events, dog racing, hi-li, all over the place. So in other words, it's sort of like the example I always give is a dieting example. If the idea is that I want to lose weight, I actually have to cut out all cookies. I can't just cut out chocolate chip cookies and say, well, it's okay to eat the peanut butter and the macaroon and the oatmeal and the cheesecake and everything else. And I, you know, if I do all that, I can't really expect to lose weight. Same thing here. The state can't really expect to reduce gambling if it's going to have all these exemptions to the ban. In fact, the court said the law was pierced by exemptions and inconsistencies. Okay? So, the law basically failed on Part 3. All right? They didn't really address Part 4 that much, but they basically said that it is a substantial interest to reduce the cost of gambling, but frankly, you've got this law that is broken and can't really be said to advance it. Okay? There are so many exemptions that it's like banning only one form of cookie and still expecting to lose the weight. Okay? Now, if you're thinking this feels an awful lot like Central Hudson, Posadas, I think you're right. I think both cases should have come out the same way. Either both laws overturned or both laws upheld. I, of course, would like to see them overturned because I don't like regulations on speech. But I tend to memorize it. Okay? Very similar laws in Posadas and in Greater New Orleans. In Posadas, the law was upheld because it advanced Part 3. All right, Part 3 advanced Part 2. And in Greater New Orleans, it was overturned because Part 3 didn't advance Part 2. I hope that makes some sense. I know that this is a very difficult area of law and it might feel somewhat confusing to you. Like I said, I just memorize it because to me these cases do not make any sense when fit together in the bigger puzzle. But I don't have to agree either. We just have to know. Okay, so the upshot. Central Hudson is becoming stricter and stricter. In other words, fewer and fewer regulations are being able to get past Parts 3 and 4 of Central Hudson. There are exceptions. Obviously, Posadas is one of them. But by and large, Central Hudson tends to result in most of these regulations being overturned. Some justices, particularly Clarence Thomas, are really unhappy with Central Hudson. They say, why are we keeping truthful information from interested parties? So far, however, the court has refused to abandon the test. Okay? Thomas, in particular, again, would say goodbye to it. But he doesn't have the 5 votes yet. Eventually, I'm going to bet he'll get those 5 votes. I'm hoping it's still in my lifetime. Again, Posadas, Greater New Orleans, similar cases, completely different outcomes. The law gets upheld in Posadas and overturned in Greater New Orleans. essentially on the relationship between Part 2 and Part 3 of the Central Hudson Test. And finally, there doesn't seem to be much in the way of exemptions for so-called vice advertising, tobacco, gambling, alcohol, sex, etc. The court doesn't seem to say we need to regulate advertisements about those more. In other words, it seems to be treating most of these advertising regulations very, very similarly. And that, my friends, would be the end of the first half of the chapter. Thanks for staying with me.